Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Diabolical question to start the show. One, actually, this is not the diabolical question. I'll get to the diabolical question. London. Does it do anything? We excited? 9:30 kickoff on Sunday? We love in London?
Seeing a lot of social media posts from people out there. And usually when that happens, I like get a little bit of FOMO. Not so much this time. I'm not really, I'm not jealous of anybody that's in London right now.
So I'm torn. Because on one hand, I think the international games, certainly zero in on the NFL prostituting its very, 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 very just absolute football crazy American fandom. And they're prostituting that so they can get more fans elsewhere. And so any game that is taken away from Cleveland Browns Stadium
right.
and given to another market, I don't give a rip who it is. I don't like it. I want as many home games as I can wherever the Browns play, and I want to be able to watch them in person. I also am a man of comfort. I like my 1 p.m. kickoff. I like it more than any other kickoff. I might despise a 9:35 kickoff more than I despise any other kickoff, but I will say, if I was experiencing it, I'd be excited. I think it's a very cool thing if you have the time and money to afford this kind of thing. And so I think for the fans that can experience it, I think that's really awesome. It's just for the guy who really would rather, if I'm going to London, I'd rather go do anything other than watch a football game, which I can do here in America. It's a massive inconvenience to me, and I'm kind of over the whole damn thing.
See, here's my thing. Like, and maybe this is just because I'm a sicko. Like, what I enjoy doing is sitting around watching football. So, like, if I were to go to London, like, what other things would you be doing in London? I don't even know. Like, what do
you
they
know? It's
have?
A big
what,
town. They got a lot of things to see, right? They got a bunch of minsters and some abbeys.
Have,
and
what do they have that we don't have here?
Bad dentistry, I think, is one of the many things.
And, like, fish and chips, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
we got that.
Yeah. We don't have that. We don't have. By the way, is your whole? Are you just down on London and England in general?
Yeah, we fought two world wars and not care about what's going on over there.
Two world wars. Very easy, Bob Wiley. Okay, but you can still appreciate
That's a good drop.
My family emigrated from Hungary in 1958 because the Russians chased them all around because my grandfather refused to train horses to fight his countrymen. I'll hold against Hungary or Russia. I would go to Hungary or Russia at any point to go, well, maybe not Russia. I don't think loudmouth Americans are their favorite thing. Although, actually, Russian people, I do know a fair amount, the Russian people are awesome. The government, I'll take it or leave it. But I would actually go. I would like Russia has a lot of incredibly...
See, I asked you about London. Now you're trying to sell me on Russia.
Well, no, I think my point is, I have a reason to hate Russia, and I would go see Russia. I don't think any of us have a real reason to dislike England other than maybe the English. If you got a bad experience of that, I've always been the beneficial of wonderful English people. I think if you said right now you can go to London and you can see Big Ben and you can see the Palace and you can see all this stuff, or you can go see an NFL game, I would dare say most Americans would be like, give me the London excursion and not the NFL game.
Yeah, maybe I'm the outlier then.
I think you are. I think that's safe to say.
I just like, it's so funny.
Is it just London? Do you also hate Ireland? Do you feel bad about the Scots too?
No, it's a long plane ride. I see like these photos, like it looked gray at practice today and kind of rainy. Like I did.
You live in Ohio.
Yeah, it's beautiful out there today.
You said today. That was the operative word.
That's true.
I mean,
ask me how I'm feeling.
I think London is probably more like Seattle than it is like Cleveland, but Cleveland's got some London to it. I should say England.
I'm out on London. Official stance.
I just think that's the worst take you could have had. I'm out on London football. Preach it. All right? We're right there. I'm out on London when you've never been to London.
Never been.
Feels like the oldest man take, and I'm 15 years younger than you are, or older than you are. I got there eventually. Math isn't my strong suit. I'm gifted in other ways.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, just like, okay, go to see Big Ben. Like, that's a building.
Yeah, it's a clock.
Yeah, with a clock on the top of it. Like, I got the time on my phone.
So is the White House just a house?
Well, on my phone, I could see the time.
Is the Lincoln Monument? Is that just a pile of bricks? No. Is the Washington Monument? Is that just? Oh, that kind of looks like a ding-a-ling. Is that like? I don't. You just. It's one of the most historic buildings. Like, I'm not an Anglophile. I think it's a little weird that some people are that obsessed with England. I can meet you on some halfway points here. But, yeah, it's a big clock. We got those here, too. And we also, like, you're going to go to Gettysburg? It's just a field. Okay? Some historical things happen on that field. Kind of significant to, you know, history.
Yeah, like, we've got places here where there's stuff going on, though. Like, you go to, like, California,
I dare say there are things going to London.
There's, like, things going on.
There are things going on in London.
Yeah, like, a football game this weekend, but outside of that, like,
you think there's nothing going on in London?
Like, Beatles other than Beatles haven't been performing in quite some time.
I mean, at any point, Paul could pop up busking. I don't know. I will tell you, we find out something about each other every time we work together. That's the beauty of this business. I didn't have London is a boring ass town on my bingo card today, but here we are. 216-474-0092. London, what's the point?
Are we in or out?
That's fair. London, are you in or are you out? Not literally, because if you're in London, it's going to be to call in. But 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Nick Padone 12 on Twitter, social media reactions on X powered by Scheiben Jewelers. I did not have this segment going this way. When I drew it up, that's not where we thought we were going. But here's the diabolical question for all you guys, because we got quick hits at 240. We've got Matthew Collar, Minnesota Vikings reporter, Purple Insider at 420, and then Daryl Ryder, who agreed with me. It hurt him to do it, but he agreed with me on the morning show today with Lima. He joins us at 6. It's a football Friday. It's an F-off Friday. Here's the diabolical question we'll finally get to. Who has the quarterback advantage on Sunday? And remember this. Experience matters. Don't shortchange that for Teemu Tua, Dylan Gabriel. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We threw out the diabolical question because I do think this is a tougher question than you realize. But I threw it out there. What say you? Who has the quarterback advantage on Sunday between the Browns and Vikings?
You know, I think, like, just conventional wisdom would tell you that Carson Wentz is a guy that led a team to the playoffs and kind of the Super Bowl that one time. Nick Foles deserves a little bit of credit for that, but whatever.
A little bit of credit. Yeah, he's the guy that won the last few games.
The guy that has the statue outside the stadium.
Anatomically correct from what I heard.
So I do think that Wentz probably has the upper hand, but there's an element of this game that I'm excited about. As a fan of the Browns, that I don't really know what we're going to get out of Dylan Gabriel. There are a number of variables that could come out of this, and none of them would really surprise me. Would it surprise me if Gabriel was going to be able to go out there and look competent in Kevin Stefanski's offense? It wouldn't surprise me if they dumb things down for him in a way, because he's so smart, that he's able to excel right away and look really good. It also wouldn't surprise me, because this offensive line is a little bit beat up and kind of bad when it's not even beat up, if it was just a colossal meltdown. So nothing would really surprise me, but I'm excited about this game as a fan because of the fear of the unknown, really. I also think that works to Gabriel's advantage in a little bit, because nobody really knows, the Vikings included, what he's going to do. I think that's a good thing, even though there is all this 6 years of college tape out there.
There has been a lot of talk about hope, and all I would say is hope really only works if you win and or Dylan Gabriel plays well on Sunday. So to people who, like, I understood, like, basically, I think they went to Dylan not because Dylan's ready, but because Joe was unplayable. And I just, you could not send Joe Flacco out in front of that locker room again. You could not do it. Because I think you saw in the Detroit game, they stopped believing they could win with Joe and compete with Joe. And that ends a season. When I say season, I'm not just talking about wins and losses. I'm talking about competitiveness. And Stefanski and company, we can haggle over whether they're safe or not. You just need to keep it competitive. I think that's the driver here. Not that Dillon Gabriel is some, you know, he's ready and it's all been leading to this moment. I do think the whole thing's a damn wild card. Like, I think playing in London in general, it's kind of like Thursday night football to me. I have no idea how teams are going to react. And, like, since Dillon Gabriel's quite simply the first quarterback to make his NFL debut, his starting debut in a London game, that's pretty significant as well.
Yeah.
So I do, like, this is a game that I just would stay away entirely. Like, I was the guy who last night, I was like, I know the 49ers are banged up, but it's Thursday night football. I think Mac Jones is better than people realize. I also think the Rams are good, but I don't think they're great yet. I was comfortable taking the 49ers last night, and that bore fruit. I am stay the hell away from this game. And I think part of what I'll be watching for on Sunday, part of the thing that has me so intrigued on Monday is similar to what you said. It's just the absolute curiosity of, I know Stefanski loves this kid. I know that this might be the guy that he has been felt strongest about since coming to the Cleveland Browns that they've actually brought in. I know that this team needs a spark. I think Dillon does things that Joe doesn't do, right? Gets the ball out quick. The mobility factor, again, not a mobile quarterback, but can move. Joe can't move. And he's supposed to not turn the ball over. Hypothetically, all right, this is the Browns thing. The Browns are really good at explaining things logically. And then they go out on the field, and then the logic doesn't match the result.
Yeah, right? I hate to tell you,
that's
bro,
what this Sunday feels like.
Like, everything that you just named, not turning the football over, being mobile outside the pocket, bringing a little bit of juice and athleticism, like, those were the same things we were talking about before Dorian Thompson-Robinson's first career start, because Deshaun Watson had been that bad. We were looking to DTR and saying, well, if he could do some of the same things that he was able to do in the preseason, this would actually be pretty good, and you could see a world where he could effectively run Kevin Stefanski's offense. Like, we were having those same conversations then.
You know what the only difference is? DTR didn't do those things in college.
Right.
Like, DTR was absolutely a projection. I never, at UCLA, watched DTR and thought, proficient quarterback. He always looked like a work in progress. And he started for 4 years at UCLA, whereas Dillon Gabriel's a grown man. He's got a 401k. I think he's got a couple grandkids now. Like, everything that they've said about him are actually things he did in Oregon, Oklahoma, and Central Florida.
What's kind of unfortunate for Dillon Gabriel in this spot is exactly that. Like, he's going to be 25 in December. So, like, if you've got a chance to write your book right now, and if you don't, I don't know when that next chance is going to necessarily come, because you're a third-round pick, and we talked about it the last time that we were together. There weren't a ton of people that were calling you a top 100 pick going into the draft, and obviously NFL teams thought highly of him. The Browns had a couple trade offers, according to Albert Breer, in the, you know, day three when they were getting ready to take Shador because they knew they had just drafted Dillon Gabriel, and teams thought highly of him. So, all of that is out there, and it's great that you were a good college quarterback. We've seen a lot of short, good college quarterbacks that could keep the car on the road and hit the layups and find open receivers. We've seen those guys that are really smart, and we build that up, struggle in the National Football League or be limited in the National Football League. So I think of all of the outcomes on the wheel of outcomes of what Sunday could look like for Dillon Gabriel. I'm optimistic that it can at least be competent. I'm optimistic that Dillon Gabriel can at least move the sticks. He could at least find the end zone a couple of times, because I will say there have been a couple times through the first 4 weeks where I've seen Isaiah Bond wide open and Joe Flacco's just not letting that football rip.
Yeah, I mean, if the offense isn't functional on Sunday, I'm going to be very pissed on Monday.
That's completely fair, though.
If you're not functional across two different quarterbacks, no matter the line issues, no matter the drops.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Like, this is the NFL. And the whole point of going back to the old system is it was supposed to be relatively seamless. And not just the system in terms of what Stefanski wants to do, but also with a blocking scheme. And it has not been seamless on any front. And while I can give some grace to some of that, that's where my patience, like this is where, like Sunday to me is where the rubber meets the road. It is, can you have a functional offense? Minnesota has an offensive line that 60% of those dudes aren't going to be out there on Sunday against your strength, which is your front four. Like, this is an incredibly winnable game, all things considered. So win the game. I don't give a rip if he's got 150 yards or 190 yards or 250 yards. The more yardage, the better. The more touchdowns, the better. The less turnovers, the better. I get that. But if that kid goes for 200 yards and has an interception, no touchdowns, you score 13 points and you lose, yeah, I'm going to rage on Monday.
Well, and here
it just shouldn't take 5 weeks to get functional. That's the easiest thing to be in the NFL is functional.
And I hate to tell you, like, you're not going to just be raging Monday, Nick. You're going to be raging Tuesday, and you're certainly going to be raging Wednesday and Thursday when you realize you got the Pittsburgh Steelers after this in Pittsburgh. That's a place where you haven't won a football game in, oh, I don't know, over two decades. So, like, he has to show you some sort of promise in this game, because if he doesn't, okay, now I'm going to go put him against Patrick Queen, who's coming off of his best game in the black and yellow. I'm going to go put him against TJ Watt, and we know what he's done to young Browns quarterbacks in his professional career. Like, this has an opportunity to snowball, but at the same time, if you can get some semblance of normalcy out of it, you could see a world where if you just get to the Dolphins on October 19th and the Patriots that next week and the Jets after that, like, the schedule does soften a smidge, but you can have a colossal meltdown on Sunday. You just can't afford that.
I don't think it's dramatic to say that if you don't win on Sunday, or if you have another coinky dink, you know, run of circumstances where you lose this game, you go 1-4, especially after a quarterback switch, and then you go to Pittsburgh. Like, we can talk about Miami and Tennessee and the Jets game. We can talk about all those games after. But the reality is, by the time you get there, that locker room might stop believing they can win.
Yep.
And that is where quicksand is real. That is where you really start struggling to get out of the blocks, to do things the right way, and where all of a sudden you go from a maybe 6-11 team with a lot of promise, a lot of excitement, maybe just one more draft and the right quarterback, to being a 3-14 team, and everybody else has new addresses here shortly. 216-474-0092. Carson Wentz or Dylan Gabriel, who has the quarterback advantage on Sunday? I will say, Carson Wentz is the ultimate boomer bust quarterback. He's either going to throw for 300 yards and four touchdowns, or he's going to throw for 179 yards and four interceptions. I do think Dylan's somewhere in the inoffensive. I don't know if he'll throw for 200 yards or 150 yards, but I expect him at the very least to not turn the ball over. Quick hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry,
it's Quick Hits.
All right, there's a lot of places we can start. Thursday Night Football was a dandy. 26-23 was the final score for the 49ers to get the win over the Rams in overtime. Well, Temu AI, known as Grok, which is just the dumbest, stupidest name for an AI model. Like, there's so many ChatGPT. What a cool name. There's so many cool AI, and then it's like, hey, let's make sure nobody relates to this. Well, Grok.
I like Grok. Go ahead.
That's a real problem. You are a problematic individual. I'll tell you, every once in a while you say things. First the English, now Grok. I just don't know where you stand. But in the third quarter, predicted the final score of the Niners-Rams game would be 28-24 for the Niners. The game was 20-7 when that prediction was made. The game ended up being 26-23 in overtime for the Niners. Does Grok get points for being close?
No, but also you can't really ask AI to predict things. I did like a bit on my Snapchat years ago where my TikTok where I would ask the Snapchat AI, which I don't know why that exists, who would hit a home run for the Cleveland Guardians that upcoming night. And it was like, it took it like 15 games to get it right.
Yeah.
So Grok, Snapchat AI, ChatGPT, not really great in the prediction business. I will say though, Grok, like if you need a, like I love, like I generate an image of Tom Brady wearing a UNC football jersey. It'll have it done in a minute. And I know you're not supposed to do that because of the environment and art and all that stuff. So I'm sorry. But I have done it.
There's just a lot that's really coming undone here that I'd like to get to. That being said, when the AI overlords asked me how you talked about them before, I'll be like, they doubted your prediction ability. And that'll be it for you.
Yeah.
But it'll be like, and then you can be like, but that fatty said Grok is a stupid name. And then that'll be it for me.
You know, I do try to like be nice to mine just in case. I'm like, hey, that was really good.
I think everyone has watched Terminator or T2 too many times because I'm like, hey, ChatGPT, if it's not too much, I had this question and it's like, nah, come on, Nick. I'm like, are you sure? I go full Midwest nice because, again, Midwestern folks make very good servants when the robots rise up within the next 10 years or so.
Omaha! It does scare me, though, when they start acting a little too nice and start prying for a little too much information. It's like, hey, let's stay in your lane there,
GBT. I think that might be the weed.
Mac Jones was asked if he believes he should still be the starting quarterback
this
of the 49ers.
Like my best friend. It keeps cleaning my house.
Here's Mac Jones.
Stop following me.
Here's Mac Jones.
This little round robot. He calls himself Roomba. Oh, man.
I don't have a Roomba. Here's Mac Jones.
Keeps looking at my ass. I don't know what's going on here.
If he thinks he should still be the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers.
You know, they brought me here to play as a backup, and that's my job. And Brock's the starter of this team, and right now he's dealing with something. And for him to go out there last week and play when you know he probably wasn't at full health, like, he cares about this team. So I'm just trying to get some wins for him so it helps us down the line. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Like, I've been in his position. I've been a starter. And you want your backup to go in there and win because at the end of the season, that could be the hit or miss between a playoff or not. So
McCorkle Jones has turned over a new leaf in San Francisco. A
lot of Browns fans, Nick, saying that. That's how Shador Sanders should have handled the media instead of doing Mime Sanders.
Yeah, and I have something for those people at some point in today's show. I'm going to sidestep that obvious attempt for me to take a big, juicy swing at that one. What I will say is, I don't know why, and I don't know how to explain this, but there are just certain quarterbacks that when you see their journey, you see their arc, you think to yourself, you're going to be on that godforsaken quarterback jersey for the Browns, aren't you? And McCorkle Jones.
He's got the look.
Fated by Zeus himself, by the gods from Olympus themselves. He is fated to make that freaking jersey, and it feels sooner than rather than later.
Omaha!
I don't want to do a third thing because it's Al Michaels being bad at his job, and we're going to do it. Mac Jones' resurgence was apparent during the 49ers win last night on Thursday Night Football in overtime, but Al Michaels missed many a calls for Amazon that was also apparent for viewers as well. Here's one.
Here is a flag on the play, and this one's coming back.
Personal foul, roughing the passer. Defense on a 10. 15-yard penalty out of the end.
Hold on a second. The 49ers are going back up to the 41-yard line. Did they... By replay assist, that was legal? The 49ers up at the 41-yard line now. They marked it after the catch is what they did.
So, the internet has agreed in unison Then it is time for 80-year-old Al Michaels to retire. Agree or disagree?
Agree. I mean, that's probably an agree, even if you would have asked me that like 3 years ago. And it's sad to say because, like, he's a legend, you know? So you never want to, you know, take for granted the games that he calls. But I'm taking them for granted right now because there are moments like that that happen every single Thursday night.
So here's my problem. Is the vast majority of people saying retire Al have no idea how much work it takes to get where that guy's gotten his career. And maybe it's a slight sensitivity to reaching a point that I can say I'm very comfortable and content in my career and happy with the way things have gone, right? But like I probably have another 20 to 25 years left in the business in some form or fashion. And I have worked my ever loving booty to get to where I am and to stay where I am. I work from 5:30 in the morning till 8 at night. And I even do work watching games like last night. Like it is a never ending thing. And it is so easy for people. We live in this society now. And I hate saying things like that because it's a little too defeatist and a little too cynical, but we do live in this cynical or this world now where people who've never done the work try to tell people who have done the work that they're not good at things and it's time to retire. I don't think Al Michaels is where he was 5 years ago. And I certainly think last night he had more than his fair share of oopsies. But I'm sorry, when you have called the Olympics, when you have called 30 plus seasons of NFL football and baseball and World Series and all these things and done what Al has done, you get to call your shot. And it's the same thing with Lee Corso. When you created an institution that defined a sport, you get to call your shot. And if it's uncomfortable for you to watch or it irritates you, that is fine. Don't watch. But that dude out, like there's a lot of people who are well-meaning, but who don't have a you-know-what to you-know-what in. I think pot to you-know-what in. That's where I was going. Telling a guy that's probably one of the most accomplished play-by-play guys in history, you don't have it anymore, Grandpa. And I don't think those people are, I don't think they're in a position to make that call. Not saying you aren't, because you do this and you understand the work or some iteration of that. No, I'm sorry. I think it's disrespectful to Al to talk about him the way people have talked about it. Like, simmer down.
Omaha!
High-roaded you there, didn't I?
You did. You definitely did. Wow. All right, we're not going to play the audio on this one because it is kind of boring, but there's a video going around the internet right now of Cooper Flagg opening up a basketball pack of cards from the year that he was born, and it's 2006.
Oof.
This clip makes me feel a little bit old, Nick, because he didn't know the following players. Hedo Turkoglu.
Okay.
Eric Snow.
Oh, okay, so they weren't rookies. I thought it was a rookie pack, so it's just guys that were in the NBA in 2006.
Guys that were in the league in 2006.
Okay.
And Zydrunas Ilgauskas. Cooper Flagg maybe doesn't know ball.
Does he just not know Euros?
That's two really strong Euros,
yeah. And then a guy who was just a nice player.
Here's what scares me a little bit, though.
I don't want to disrespect Eric Snow because he's done more in sports than I have, clearly.
Here's the scary part about it. You can make the argument Zydrunas Ilgauskas kind of paved the way for players like Cooper Flagg, being big, lanky shooters outside.
There's a word you want to use. Yeah, we got like, that word eventually.
Like,
He's big and he's tall.
You should know the
kind of lumbers a little bit.
That laid the foundation
he's
for you to be the
rat.
Number one overall pick.
He works as hard as anybody.
He's got a high
IQ for sports. Like, what are we saying there?
I was surprised Cooper Flagg didn't know Big Z.
I was thinking of Con Knipple with the weird brothers that all look like clones of him.
Yes.
That, I got to tell you, I don't know that Duke has looked into cloning. I can tell you, between Cooper Flagg's family, between Con Knipple's family, and a few of the other families, I can't say for certain. I think there's some cloning things going on there because it's a little freaky. All right, yesterday, saw the Tigers bounce. Have you heard about this? Have you seen about this? Have you heard about this? Bounce the Guardians from the playoffs, but not before. ESPN on ABC announcer Sean McDonough and Todd Frazier gave Guardians announcer Tom Hamilton some love.
There's the legendary Tom Hamilton, radio voice of the Guardians and the Indians before that. The winner of the Ford Frick Award. His outstanding broadcasting. He's in Cooperstown where he belongs.
One of those voices that you will never forget. And I played here. I remember hearing some of the great calls against us
When I played, I didn't like it too much, but understood. One of the best to do it.
Gotta love that Todd Frazier, who was an ass clown about announcers, when he was a player, still an ass clown when he's announcing. Like, that to me is like, well, by the way, they're not here to be fans of you, Todd. And yes, Tom Hamilton is a Guardians announcer, which means he's going to say nice things about the Guardians. Thank you for understanding how this goes. Now, am I the only person that has heard all the praise for Hammy in the last month? And am I missing something? Has there been a retirement announcement? Like, people were talking about Tom Hamilton down the stretch run. Like, something has been announced that I don't know has been announced.
Don't do this.
I'm not retiring him. I clearly just said I don't do that to Al Michaels, but it does seem like everybody's talking about Hammy like his career over, and it's like, I think he's going to be back next year, yeah?
I think so, and I hope so. I'm glad that he's finally getting a little bit of national rub. I thought that was cool.
Finally?
I mean, over this last season. Vocally, he's a hero.
Oh, he's gotten... Tom Hamilton has some love. This is like Eric Snow with Cooper Flagg, where you're like, he's finally getting some love. He's beloved. It just felt like this was a little outsized. I'm willing to say Baseball Hall of Fame, that's a big part of this. I don't know. Just made me I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't need the Hall of Fame little caboose that goes around for Hosey when Hosey goes to retire. I don't need it for any Browns player, not for Miles, like... Retire when you're going to retire. If you want that, take it. But I don't need it as a fan. I don't need it for LeBron, even though I think it's what's going to happen. I think he should. That being said, I need the retirement caboose for Tom Hamilton.
For sure.
That is one of the people. I do not know Tom. I've met him a few times when I was much, much younger. Always good to me. That guy is baseball to me, and I want 162 games of saying goodbye. So if the Guardians are listening, you spring it on me, I'm going to be a very pissed individual. Which I tend to be anyways. 216-474-0092. The conversation was already a difficult one, but it might have graduated officially to impossible. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.